And high school, for all my high school students, as you go there, please make sure that you understand that from the ninth grade, as soon as you step foot on the ninth grade, that's when your GPA starts counting for college, if you decide to go. So make sure that you work hard, whether it be in sports or in academia, no matter what particular area that it is, and make sure that you concentrate on that so that you have the best opportunity to go to college of your choice going forward, all right? I want to impress those things upon you, and then even once you get to the 12th grade, God willing, Pastor Martin will be there to give you your exit package. It ain't going to be no money in there. Well, I might shoot you a couple of dollars. But it's basically going to be a nice little package of what you should expect when you go to college, some of the things that you're going to run into as far as different faiths and different mindsets and different people. So we want you to be well prepared. You're going to party now. I understand that. But we also want to make sure that you're equipped and know that you have a place to run to when those things will no longer satisfy you. Amen. Amen. So I have this scripture this morning. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Luke chapter 23, verse 35 through 43. And while they get ready, let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you and we honor you. We thank you for these, your people. We thank you, Lord God, for those that support the ministry both near and far. I pray right now, Lord God, as we go into the word for this morning, that it be done with power, demonstration, and clarity, that it be received. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 43 goes as follows, and it's from the New King James Version. And it says, "And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others,'" talk about Christ, the cross of Christ at Calvary here, that's the stage. Repeating, "And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself from off that cross, if he is the Christ, the chosen Son of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew." Notice how it doesn't say English. "In Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us,' letting us know that there are some people, even in death, that will not turn to God. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you up under the same condemnation? We're all guilty, and we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds.'" In other words, we deserve this. "But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, while he was bleeding from his wrist and feet, pierced in his side, just like Jesus. Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise.'" And the title of this morning's message is "A Ticket to Heaven." A ticket to heaven. Father, help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 One of our events that we had yesterday was our annual Beach Day. Beach Day. Which took place yesterday in the city, beautiful city of Daytona Beach. I could tell you that it was a beautiful, beautiful day. Beautiful day. I saw a couple of people in long pants, but it was still a beautiful day nonetheless. It was hot, but we had tents. It was sandy, but we had a splash pad to wash all the kids and adults off. People got hungry, but we had loads and loads of snacks. And most of all, we had koinonia, which is Greek for Christian fellowship with one another. I was overjoyed with the love that our church family had towards one another, as well as the people who were not even there with us, that don't even attend our church. So it was a true testament to the power of God. And to top it off, people were baptized, some for the first time, and entering into the kingdom of God, coming just as they were. They didn't have to have a suit. They didn't have to have a dress. Didn't have to have earrings or makeup or any of those things. They didn't even have to explain to me a whole bunch of stuff. I just knew by the power of the Holy Spirit who was ready and who was not to receive Jesus Christ. In other words, to acknowledge the call that God already gave them. So it was a good day in my Ice Cube voice. And I pray that we continue to have many others. I do, however, want to share with you one incident that happened while we were at the beach. No one was hurt. No one got ill or sick. But it was a moment in the heat of the day where a man, strange man, tall man, began to walk closer to me, and he had a backpack on and a t-shirt that said, "Jesus love you" on the front and John 3:16 on the back, who approached my wife and I with two yellow pieces of paper. He gave a few other members of our ministry those same yellow pieces of paper very quickly, and within a blink of an eye, he disappeared down the shoreline. We went on about our business, but that yellow piece of paper, I still have it, and it says, "A ticket to heaven." It was something that really, really stood out to me. And so to you, it may be a coincidence, but to me, there is no such things as coincidence. It's not even found in all of the biblical texts as coincidence. Because when you think of a coincidence, it's like something randomly happening without God's knowledge or influence. That's what a coincidence is. It just happens, but I don't believe in them, and neither does God. So this man who came by with this yellow ticket just began passing around to different people. Some people put their hands up and refused. Others took them, and others he passed by. It was actually like a movie picture of how God begins to save people, and how some reject him, and how some are not ready to receive him. And that all happened which just in the matter of like 2 minutes. A yellow ticket to heaven. Now this ticket, if I take it anywhere on earth, it won't get me anywhere. Matter of fact, it won't get me to heaven either. Not as far as the paper is concerned, but it was the message itself that really touched my heart. So I took a moment to read the message, and behold, as I said before, it was entitled, "A Ticket to Heaven." And that's when God began to work within the Spirit to share the simple truth of the gospel through one of my favorite pastimes, trains. Put that on your birthday list for next year, y'all. Trains. I love trains. It was one of my first expensive toys in Jacksonville when I was a little kid growing up in the neighborhood. It was called Lionel Train Systems. Really, really old. I remember those train tracks had a dual purpose. One of them was just to put the train on. The other one was used as as real old school. All of the young people in here be like, "I'm horrified by that." All right. Well, here I am today because of those train tracks. So I love those trains. And I've loved them since I was a child. And if you know anything about trains, they carry a lot of people to a specific destination. They have attendants to take tickets, as well as a conductor who is with the people as they take their journey, not only as a courtesy to make that particular call, but also a verbal call for anyone to get on board just in case they were not paying attention. And so that's what the conductor is, somebody who takes you to your destination and also, as a courtesy, makes a verbal call, "Hey, all aboard!" Or for some of y'all heard the other, "All aboard the choo-choo train, all aboard the choo-choo train, all aboard the choo-choo train, all aboard, bloop, bloop." Yeah, that's what a conductor is. They make a call so that everybody who has a ticket knows that it's time to get aboard. And if you don't have a ticket, it's still your time to get aboard that train. The reason why the call actually is necessary, because once the doors close, you can't get in and you can't get off. So let's pretend for a moment that we are at a spiritual train station, if you will, a terminal that has some different yet predetermined destinations. It sounds like a story, and it is, but I want you to understand that there's a deep theological truth to what I'm saying. And if you study this and if you watch the video over and over again, you'll see things come alive. So at this terminal station, we have a couple of trains, four to be exact. The first train is this, and this is what happens. If we were all in a train system, a train station, and you're at a terminal, and we're all just looking around as far as what to get on, these are the four options. The first train is called the West Train. It's the smallest and leads to an abundance of wealth and power and those who desire it. It's also exclusive so that you have to have a certain amount of money to get on. However, when you lose your status, you have to get off. So that train has the most stops. What profit a man to gain the whole world than to lose his soul? No wonder I also understand that we live in the Western world. The next one is the East Train. The East Train is the one that leads to spiritualism and philosophy, where you can explore many different religions and perspectives as you go along this particular journey. Not only that, but you are inundated with complimentary oils, incense, hemp yoga mats, and lots of YouTube videos. And it's actually, let me see if you can catch this. It's actually the medium train. Somebody got that. No pun intended in regards to science. A media, for those of you that just didn't get it this morning because you just got out of bed or you still think about who texted you, a medium is a person who works divination. It's like somebody who you see at the mall and they do palm reading. Or it's like that guy, that prophet that's on Facebook that with them hazel eyes and them gold shoes that's telling you to stretch out with $50 in your hand before he responds. That's a medium. The people who like horoscopes, I know that's your number one zodiac sign. Cancer! Is it Leo? Is it Scorpio? Is it Cancer? Goose? It's your birthday. Yeah, I understand. But that has no bearing on God. So this train, and this is funny, doesn't even have a destination because it goes in circles. Then you have the South Train. South Train. The South Train is the largest, fastest, best looking, and most entertaining. There are no rules, no regulations. Anything goes. You could go butt naked crazy on this particular train. Its destination has the most heat, but no one notices until the end because it's nonstop. This train gets into a lot of wrecks and has a record of the most deaths. There have only been a few passengers in its entire history that it's been running to return after going to its destination. Most of the time, it's because they get kicked off for telling what it's all about. And ironically, they become attendants for the North Train. Ah, the North Train. That's the last and final train. The final train, the North Train. And even as I use these particular names, it's biblical even in of itself, because to the West, that represents our Western world, power and wealth. To the East, knowledge and wisdom, spiritualism, occult things, Eastern knowledge. The South represents hell. But the North, when you look at it biblically, it says that God is in the North. Not north of the United States, but I'm talking about north in the heavens. And if you keep on going, even though you can't get there, you'll get to his location. What is his location? It's the end of the number system. That's his address. Hope you got that too. The North Train. Now this train has been running the longest. Lord have mercy. And it is the most reliable, but doesn't look the best. No, not at all. Matter of fact, the conductor looks like he's been beaten up. He has a scraggly facial expression. Not even somebody that you really want to look at. He also looks like he's been beaten down quite a few times. Maybe it's because he's been in customer service all of his life. Nevertheless, he's there. And maybe he looks so rough because he actually took the keys from the South train. So this train has a large capacity, but the smallest number of riders. And it is a bit old-fashioned because the train conductor has to call out the window to tell the people to get aboard. We got tickets here. You got tickets here. I've got 2 tickets to paradise. Pack your bags. We'll leave tonight. 2 tickets to paradise. Whoa, 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 whoa. 2 tickets. A ticket for you and a ticket for me. I want you to get on this train because we have a destiny. Where you are right now is not enough. Some of you have ridden on these other trains, but they have led you nowhere. And what I've also found out is that some of you are on the South train, but you're sitting in here today. And so my prayer is that you get off and that you get on the North train. Come along and ride on the fantastic voyage. Oh, that doesn't work. How about people on the board? On Love's train, Love's train, Love's train. I messed up the words, but you get it. The North train. The North train has a conductor that looks beaten up. Has a lot of capacity, but a few riders. It's a bit old because the conductor is the one who yells out and calls people to get on the board. Not only that, he has a tendency to pass out tickets. Tickets from these attendants. Who are the attendants? Well, they might be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a missionary, apostle. Those two are interchangeable. Or a prophet. These people don't tell you your future. They just tell you what God has already said. These are the ones who are handing out tickets. And these could be anybody. And these tickets can be passed out at any time, not just on a Sunday. But the conductor has them do this weekly, round the clock. But most of the time when they return to the terminal station, they have a handful of tickets that no one wants to buy. So the conductor tells them to beg, to plead, to ask them, come on aboard. Come on aboard. All the other trains are going nowhere. And if you wait too long, the South train will take you by force. But why? Why should people actually get on this train? What's so special about it? Well, it's been said that the North train is a one-way train. It's also the slowest. Not only that, people hop on and off quite a bit to see if other trains are better. But as long as you have your ticket, you are okay to get back aboard due to its grace policy. You know, the policy that says that you could get off and you could kind of go out there and see, but it's still good as long as you get on board on time. The doors will close eventually. It's open now, but eventually it will close. So that's a great grace policy. Another thing is that people don't like about the North train is that the journey is narrow and sometimes very treacherous. I made this very clear to the young people yesterday as they were going through baptism that this is actually not going to be a very easy situation. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse. Come suffer with me. But as the psalmist said this morning, those that suffer with him will reign with him. Not only in this life, but in the one yet to come. That's all on the North train. But not everybody's quite convinced of that. So this particular North train does have a journey that is narrow and sometimes treacherous. But I'm told that if you put your faith in the conductor, Even though the journey is narrow and treacherous, it will be easier to rest. Not only that, there are all types of people on this train from all over the world. It's international, if you will. Not only that, there are also babies, elderly, and everyone in between. People with disabilities, people who are mute, deaf, blind, rich, poor, from all stripes. Some of them have degrees in theology, degrees in math and science and technology, and others have no degrees at all. Look at all these people that are on this train. Love train on a fantastic voyage. To be truthful, sometimes people look a mess on this train. Amen. It's like going on the C train in the middle of the night. There's all types of people on the train that you'll meet. Sometimes you'll kind of want to judge them too by their outer appearance. Sometimes you'll make the people that look a little bit different from you, you'll kind of want them to get off the train because they haven't been on long enough. Or they just got in because as the doors were closing. But it's the conductor that governs or controls the opening and closing of the doors. So these people get on looking any old kind of way. They're looking rough as if they were traveling for a long time, gone through a lot of things. But as long as they got their ticket, they can get aboard. What also kind of shocked me about this train is that some die along the way through diseases or accidents, even the effects of the evil that are in the world. But the good news is that as long as they are on this train, when those things happen, they will make it to the end. I've also heard that the train smells like a herd of lost sheep. So it's not glamorous or luxurious. You can rest, but sometimes it smells disgusting because the sheep have gone through a lot. Not only that, the train is wet. From what, Pastor Martin? Well, because of tears. But in the end, they're all taken care of by the conductor who has paid the cost to take them to their destination. This is where I kind of give a little bit of a description, because some of you may have gotten what I was saying and others of you have not. So after the pattern of the master, who himself told parables to reveal a deeper truth, I too will explain what has been said this morning symbolically, and then I'm out of your way as we conclude. First, there is a call. That's the first thing that happened in order for you to even get on the train in the first place. You can't go because you want to. You can't choose to just show up at the terminal. You have to understand that there is a call to get the ticket in the first place. I'm helping you out here. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, you see the truth of this. In verse 16, it says, "So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, all aboard. But few are chosen." In other words, a lot of people are called to the station, but not everybody will receive a ticket. Then there is a choice. Choice. You see, you have nothing to do with the call. The conductor makes the call to your heart. You know from the inside that you should be at this place. But then something else begins to happen. And that's a choice, because God gave us all free will. Free will is actually a bit of a mystery, because not many of us really understand free will and why God and all of his infinite wisdom doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you come to church on time, doesn't make you believe, doesn't make you do right. Because if you love me, you'll keep his commandments. So I'd rather you do it because you want to, not because you're obligated to. I don't want you to stay with me out of fear of divorce. I want you to love me regardless. Oh my. So there's a choice, a choice, a choice. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and to picture this, picture you standing in the middle of the station looking at all four options all at the same time. You heard the call, but there's two voices in the garden, if you will. One that will lead you to the wrong choices and one that will lead you to the right choice. You got that? One voice will lead you to the wrong choices, plural, but the other one will lead you to the right choice, singular. So imagine that you're standing there in the midst of this rotunda with all these trains that's getting ready to go to all this destination. And now the conductor says the following through his word of Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you or waste of time to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you or whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served and all those idols and all of those ancestors that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, as far as the Martin house, I'm making it personal here, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. But not everyone makes that choice. Some want to try the West train. Because, you know, after all, as long as I make that money, I could get all the honeys in my Romy Rome voice. If I make that bread, that guap, that cheddar, that cheese, then everything is going to be all right. But money and power only amplifies who you really are, as we can see in our White House. So it doesn't fix everything. A new job, better situation don't fix everything if you still wicked in your heart. Well, other people like, you know, the East train. You know, let me get all spooky and deep on you. You know what that means, brother? You know that every time you say amen that you're calling out to an Egyptian god? See what I'm saying? You know, it kind of reminds me of In Living Color where that guy was talking about explicitly what I want to do here. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. You're talking all deep and stuff like that. It sounded deep and it sounded profound. It sounds like you know a lot. You got them YouTube videos down pat. You inboxing other people videos talking about I done found the truth. But it's still a train ride that goes in circles. You don't trust anybody because people are always keeping stuff hidden from you. I feel like somebody's watching me. I used to be on that train. I rode that train for 4 years. I used to be in so deep that I thought that if I went to a website, I was going to send an email to the Illuminati and they were going to show up at my door. But it led to nothing. And then you got that South train. That South train, boy. Man, that South train, man, that looks fabulous. It's like me going to Magic City. It looks like something on the bright side of Las Vegas. It looks fabulous. It looks nice. We can all get on. It's nice. It's ravishing. It goes fast. Woo! Everybody's on there. Everybody got six-pack. Everybody's a ball. Everybody got Ciroc. All the females got nice little 10-inch waist and 34-inch hips and things that are just all going there. Oh, wow! And I want to get on there. I could smoke something and nobody will say nothing. I could do whatever I want and there will be no consequences. That's what I want to ride. Until we find out that once you get on there, it's hard to get off. And it starts off cool, but then towards the end of the journey, the heat starts getting turned up. And then when you try to escape, you find yourself that the seatbelt won't come loose and you wake up without God forever. Biblically, the South represents hell. But oh, that North train. It's hard, but it's right. Let's look at the path, the proper path In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate, like you're going through that turnstile. And you tell the kids to stop playing with it. Stop playing with that thing. Some of y'all tried to do that at Universal Studios until you didn't have no ticket. They tell you to go back because your ticket isn't valid. So it says in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. In other words, you got three other options that's out there. So the gate is wide. It's broad. You got a lot more things to choose from besides God. Some of you this morning be like, God ain't working no more for me. That's what they want you to think. But that little old train that's over there on the side of the corner that doesn't look all glamorous, it's not as clean because it's messy on the inside because of the riders themselves. But yet that destination, man, that has a lot of appeal. Verse 14 says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. Look at that. And there are few who find it. The reason why is there's few that find it is because there's very few people that just can just choose God. You don't choose God by default. Most of us, if not all of us, don't want God by default. Don't want to be saved. Don't want to be here by default. Something has to happen on the inside that makes you want to be here. But Pastor, what happens if one of those gates leads you to a church? Can I go ahead and wait in this for a minute? Just because you go to church and just because you think that you're doing the things of God doesn't mean that it is of God. Let me help you. There have been many false prophets. Many false conductors that want you to follow them but not follow him. Never, ever become more loyal to a person more than you are loyal to the one in three persons. Never do that. If I fall off the wagon and I end up on the shade room because I done did some crazy stuff and I start tripping, y'all better not exit this church. Just get another pastor that does right. That's kind of hard, isn't it? But I love God that much because I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow him. If you're loyal to people, you can go on the wrong train. And then finally, the destination. I'm done. I love this because it just touched my heart so much. It happened so quickly, almost in the twinkling of an eye, that I got this ticket. And I was glad because my wife got one too. As a personal side note, before I go to my last scripture, I asked God when I got married that I wanted to be with my wife to the very end of my life and into the next one. And that was like his way of showing me that it's going to happen. We may not have the same relationship that we have right now, but in my heart, when I see you again, I'll know you just in a different way. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. popped up again. Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads, not the mark of the beast. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. So as I close, the train station terminal represents the choices in life that you can follow. The West train represents riches and fame. The East train represents New Age spirituality, you know, that horoscope stuff. The South train represents godlessness, and the North train represents salvation. The first three trains are all more interesting and popular, but they all lead to the same place, hell. The North train is the least glamorous train and the hardest to ride, but its destination is the best, which is heaven. The conductor of the North train is Jesus, who will help and guide you along the way. There is no real conductor on the other trains, just fake attendants or devils to destroy your faith. And finally, there are tickets, which are not literal pieces of paper like I received on yesterday, but the message it contained, the gospel, which is summed up this way as I close. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, which was the exact verse that was on that man's shirt yesterday. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son, the conductor, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, all the riders on the train, might be saved." So I hope and pray that you receive this message this morning. I wanted it to be simple, but profound. And when God gave me this, I just started just writing, because I was going to preach a whole different message altogether. Like, who going to check me, boo? But God said, you need to go ahead and just throw that away. And he gave me a ticket to paradise instead. So I hope and pray that you understand that fully. I hope you pray that you understand that those three trains are very deceptive. They're very appealing. Some of you all are allured by money and power. Others of you are allured by the fast life. And others of you who understand spiritual things really have this proclivity to go towards things that are spiritual but is not of God. Be careful. The conductor is calling. All aboard, for the doors will soon close. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We love you so much. We love you dearly. I pray, Lord God, that you were able to speak through me today without hindrance. Lord God, I pray that this message of the gospel reach these, your people, not only in this place, but also online. Let them receive you, Lord God. Let them receive the ticket to paradise, to heaven. Let them know, Lord God, that the way is not easy once they get the ticket. And you won't take the ticket back. Sometimes you'll hop on and off trying to test and see what the others are like. But you as the conductor will wait for them to return again. Let us recognize who you are through your Son Jesus, who came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. Who is the reason why we even baptize in the first place. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I pray that you have your ticket to heaven. Amen, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. In this place, I got two tickets to paradise. Pack your bags with me tonight. So I hope and pray that the message touched your heart, not only those of you that are in the sanctuary, but also those of you that are online. I play around, I kid, and I got a chance, I like to relax, but I'm always mindful of the purpose of why God put me on this planet, and that is to bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and get a seat in your hand. We want to continue our giving, trend of giving upward and forward. God has blessed many of us to come into new opportunities, into blessing and favor. Let's reciprocate. Also, as you prepared yourself for a time of giving, don't forget the blessing bags. I'm going to take a couple and put them in my car as well, because it's so easy to forget about the reason why you are the church. It's to serve and to love others. All right. All right. Let me pray over this offering. Give the best that you can. Don't forget why you give. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these, your people. We thank you for those that are support the ministry, both near and far. We thank you, Lord God, for them, for their tireless efforts. We thank you, Lord God, for their focus and how they prioritize the things of the kingdom over themselves. We pray, Lord God, that they give as true forgivers out from their heart, not grudging or out of resentment or out of obligation, but because they want to, because they love you and they love what is happening in this community, in this ministry. Bless them now. Move their hands as a ready writer, as an instrument to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Come on, stand to your feet. If you're still giving, please do so. We ain't going to rush you. And also, the snack shack is open, and we're going to try to. We've heard the cries of the people. The people said, we want more than hamburgers and hot dogs. So we're going to add some wings and things to the menu. But the way we do that is that you got to give, all right? So we got to get a fryer for some fries. So we're going to try fries and wings to the menu, all right? So that's coming up next. God bless you. God keep you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants.